Whoa. Welcome to another episode of the world's loudest podcast brought to you by Dead Sled Coffee. I am Mike W.
And I am Mike T.
Sitting here in the studio in Hoboken, New Jersey. Cops everywhere. You hear that? Man, every 5 seconds there's cops going down the street or ambulances.
It's a city. It just is what it is.
Man, I can't. When you visit, how insane is it? It's just like noise central.
Yeah, I mean, it's nonstop. I mean, granted, after a certain time, I'm just like, whatever. But.
Oh, and I got so salty because it took forever to get a bus. It's raining tonight, and then, like, the bus is stuck due to just the narrow streets. I'm just like, F.
Yeah. But it rained hard here, too. You know what I mean? It's just the weather's been brutal. You know, the past couple days, the storms have been bad. Luckily, I mean, my area has a flood warning until, like, I want to say for, like, another half an hour. But I don't live in the flood zone, so I'm good. But,
You're lucky.
Yeah, I'm lucky. This area floods a lot. You know, there's a lot of bad floodage in this area. You know, like, every 3-4 years, it floods.
All right, so tonight's podcast, we're going to have special guest Joshua Coburn, inspirational speaker, just all-around badass dude. And I love reading his book. I like looking at his Instagram posts. He's one of those guys that just motivates you to get your ass out of bed sometimes. But a good dude. I'm looking forward to talking to him. So we're going to bring him in a couple minutes. Before we go into that, we want to give a big thank you to everybody that showed up and said hello to AC and Mei Ling out in Los Angeles for the Oddities Flea Market out there last weekend. Kick ass.
Yeah, it was a great showing, from what I hear. You know, we were not there, but AC was.
Yeah, AC seemed to have a good time. I've seen him back, and I'll see him tomorrow. We're all going to the Bash Fest in Englishtown, New Jersey, on Sunday, June 2nd. This is this Sunday. So if you want to come out and say hello, I'll be out there with Mr. Slade, and we're introducing our Draven Cold Brew Coffee. Draven Cold Brew is making its rear and its batty head.
Yeah, I just shot that out on our social media about 3 hours ago, two and a half hours ago. So this will be the first time that people will actually get to try it. But it will be available online eventually, you know, sooner rather than later.
Very soon, yes. I'm actually dialing numbers right now. I'm gonna call up his number. I also want to say that lineup on Sunday is absolutely sick. You saw the lineup, right?
Yeah, it's great. It's awesome.
I love this little. This is like, it kind of sounds like I have like a real like phone in front of me. Fuck's sake. Don't. It's just a keyboard on a PC. so stupid. Yeah, but that lineup is going to be sick. It's Rancid, Pennywise, Suicidal Tendencies, L7, Madball. We'll put a post about it, but it's just going to be kick-ass. We have the times when all the bands are coming out. If you can come and drink a bunch of beer, then drink a bunch of coffee. And we're going to have some other stuff at the booth. So come by, say hello. We'll have cold brew. We'll have some other surprises there, too, that you can spend some money on. And we'd appreciate it. But I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to getting out there, hearing the bands. I love me some Rancid. I love all the bands. Suicidal's great live.
Yeah, it's a great, great lineup. And I just wish it wasn't on a Sunday. And I wish it wasn't a 3-hour drive.
Yeah, we got to get you close, man.
I know. Well, they got to stop doing shows on Sundays.
Listen, I ain't the promoter, brother.
You know, like, I'm going to call him or her up and be like, yo, here's the situation.
I live in the hills, have eyes.
Like, I live in the hills, have eyes. Like, even here in my town, in silly little Wilkes-Barre, when they have concerts at the arena here, it's like on a Tuesday. It's like, I don't want to go.
Yeah, that's terrible.
Like, I don't want to go on a Tuesday. I want to go on a Friday or Saturday night. That's it. That's it. That's all there is to it. Or Saturday afternoon to like a festival like this. You know, it's like a big craft beer festival is like the idea behind it, I think. Like the beer festival happens first, and then the concert and the band start later or something like that, right?
Yeah. It starts early in the day, and the bands start – I have to look, but it's much later in the afternoon. It's like late afternoon the bands come on.
Yeah, so. And it ends at 10 o'clock at night, I believe. Rancid is headlining this card, I think. They're
8:20 or something, they come on.
Yeah, so, you know, they're going to play for 2 hours, close to it.
Yeah, they'll play for an hour and a half at least. Yeah. You know what I think they do, too, is I think they let the people come in early, drink at the 100 beer cards, get smoked,
And then they can sing along to the 91 songs they're going to pump out in 90 minutes.
Absolutely. Like Suicidal will play like 140 songs in 48 minutes.
Absolutely.
And all they want to do is say, all I wanted was a Pepsi and sing along.
It's it. It's going to rip. It's going to be a great, it's going to be a great lineup.
So your mommy.
Yeah. I'm actually very jealous that I'm not going to get to see L7.
Yeah, L7 rips too. Yeah. I mean, listen, it's going to be great. I'm bummed you're not going to be there. But, you know, honestly, Mike, I'll be working. So,
so would I be. I mean, I would be working.
No, I mean, like, it's not like we're going to be like, dude, let's go up there and start moshing or something. It's like we'll probably be like a football field at least away from the stage. I don't know.
Yeah, it's true.
I'm sure you could hear it from Mars, how loud that's going to be.
Yeah, but it's going to be super loud. But it's going to be awesome.
Anyway, looking forward to it. I think it's going to be fine. I think it's going to be a long-ass day. And then I'm playing golf on Monday, thank God. I'm representing my real job.
Yeah, and then I get up, and I get up super early in the morning on Monday, and I travel out to Pittsburgh. And then I go from Pittsburgh to Philly, and then from Philly up to New York, and I'm gone all next week.
Fail.
Yeah. So it is what it is.
Failure. All right, so that out of the way, let's call Josh up. I got a bunch of questions for him, too. See how we do this. Let's add him to the call.
Fingers crossed it happens the first time, because it's happened in the past.
This is Josh.
There he is, Josh Coburn.
Here I am.
Mike W., Mike T., we're here. We're doing the podcast. We brought you in after we started the show about 10 minutes. Talked about you up a little bit. Talked about some Dead Sled Coffee stuff, but here you are. So we have a bunch of questions. First of all, sorry we missed you in Chicago.
Dude, I don't know what happened. I don't know if it was my schedule, how it was communicated, whatever, but what it is, man.
Yeah, total bummer, man. I was totally bummed out because when you sent us the text, and it was funny because after the show, it was so hectic of people hitting everybody up and just with security. And I said to Hasey, I said, first of all, where's Josh Coburn at? Was he even here? I mean, what is happening? Because I didn't get a text, and it was over. So I apologize that we didn't hook up. And I was disappointed. I was looking forward to seeing you.
Yeah, I mean, it is what it is. I travel enough that I'm very aware that we will probably be in the same city at some point sooner than later, you know? So what it is, it'll happen.
I hope so. We were actually discussing offline trying to do something later on, either this year or early next year with you. So we'll talk about that off the line when the time is right. But, dude, cool. Big fans. I'm sitting here with the book.
Awesome.
Yeah, the book is sick. Shit that needs said. First of all, we're going to plug that right away. How did you come up with this idea and putting these things together?
Well, you know, it's funny. I'm always writing. I'm always putting shit together. You guys see, you know, my daily posts and all that stuff. So there's always kind of content out there, writings. My phone is full of content and writings and quips and t-shirt ideas and all this crazy shit. And if you had asked me like a year and a half ago, actually, if you would have asked me in November of last year if I'm going to write another book, I would have been like, nah, I'm not feeling it. But if you would have asked me by December 15th if I'm going to write a new book, I was like, fuck yeah, and it's going to be out in June. So, like, that's how it worked, truly. Like, I was just like, I'm ready. Let's do it. You know, it's that straight.
No, it's fantastic. And it was funny. I went to go buy it, and I got a message from Mike. And Mike's like, uh-huh. I'm telling Mike, I'm like, yo, man, I'm buying this. I'm on Josh's site. And Mike's like, dude, I bought it for you. And I sent it your way. I'm like, Mike T all day.
Yeah. Hell yes. That's awesome, man. Love it. I mean, like, love it. Yeah.
Once I got it and once I started reading it, I'm like, the only other person that I know that needs this at this particular time is, well, the other Mike. So
I totally.
Right.
Absolutely.
You know, and I just shot it over to him. It's incredible. I love it. I read it on a daily basis.
I
got to ask you real quick, is it sold out? Because I went to go buy a couple copies for some pals, and I couldn't get it. So yep. We're putting more up soon? What's going on there?
Today, we relaunched it. So your timing is impeccable. It sold out in like just a few months. Like, I couldn't believe it. And sold out, so I was like, okay, well, you caught me with my pants down, a little unprepared here. I didn't expect it to sell out because, you know, I'm just some douchey dude from Iowa that's like, hey, I'm going to put another book out and hopefully you guys dig it, right? And, shit went crazy. So once it sold out, I'm just like, okay, well, I want to do something special for, you know, So like the ones that you have actually have, you know, the slip case, and then they have a gold inlay cover, right?
Correct.
Well, these that are going out now, same content inside the book, but they actually have a silver inlay cover, and the cover texture is just slightly varied because I wanted it to have kind of that old school. Like you guys remember, like after school, and maybe this was more of a Midwest thing, I don't know, but we always had like the people handing out these tiny little Bibles with like, you know, plastic covers and like gold inlay, like, you know, St. James Bible, whatever, with a cross on it. And I kind of wanted to create my concept going into this was to create like a Bible for badasses. So that's kind of why it looks like it does. But what I was getting at is I really wanted to create something that supported me the first time out with this. I wanted to make that a limited edition version, even though they didn't know it. You know what I mean? So that's why we changed it slightly this time. And we actually have the original slip cover that you guys have is coming with this one, but there's also an alternative slip cover that's also a limited run for people that are stoked about that. So, you know, options.
Oh my God. There's so many options. I can't stand options. I'm one of those guys that just had, where's the buttons? All of the above.
Add to cart by
yeah,
now.
Well, yeah, exactly. Exactly.
One of each. So, all right, well, I'll be purchasing a bunch of those soon. So when you're listening to this, I'm going to purchase another one for my shelf, and I'm also going to get one or two or three, or we'll see, and we're going to have those to give away on a podcast coming soon. So.
Yeah, we'll absolutely do that. I'll work with you on that. That'd be great.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. So let me ask you, like, when did you get involved in doing and wanting to do like motivational speaking? Because that seems something that you don't go to school for. Do you wake up one day and be like, you know what, I need to pump people up? I mean, how does that happen?
You know, it's interesting. Like, I'm a big music guy. Like, I could talk fucking music all day long. And I would love to hear, you know, I grew up, you know, where I was seeing bands like Pantera, you know, and bands like that, you know, Black Flag, where Henry or Phil would, you know, in between songs, they'd have like a little bit of banter, Phil especially. And it was always like, you know, especially like hardcore bands, you know, they'd always be talking positive, getting out there, kicking ass, all that. And I was like, fuck, I can't sing, but I can do that shit. And I knew, like, because I had seen a motivational speaker who was a Vietnam vet that came to my school when I was like 13 or something like that. And I got what he was trying to do, but I couldn't relate because, like, I haven't seen war. I haven't been through that. So I couldn't connect on that level. I got his overarching point and, you know, of course, huge respect to the guy, but I'm like, gosh, he's not like hitting me right in the heart. So I wanted to find out how to do that because I realized that, okay, this badass dude is sharing something special. I've been through some shit. I can share it. I'll bet there's other people. And kind of down the line, it just worked out that I was able to do it. So, and I guess the quick and dirty about how I was able to do it is I was in body modification for a lot of years. So I would work with the health departments on educating them about healthy procedures and cross-contamination and what specific body modifications were and tattooing and all that stuff. So sometimes I'd have like 500 people at regional conferences. So I was already doing educational kind of presentations. And once I released my first book, it allowed me to kind of parlay that into speaking on a more general level.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, the whole body modification, we can have a whole separate conversation on that. I mean, tattoos, I'm all in. I would love to get my whole torso covered, hopefully within the next couple of years. Body modifications scare me. I'm not going to lie. They're a little out there. They're like, man, that seems like a commitment where I'm not sure if I'm willing to take. But for people
everybody's got a limit, right?
Yeah, it's just, I don't know. It just seems like it'd be painful.
I don't know. The implants that I have on my hands weren't terribly bad. I mean, they suck, but I would much rather get an implant than a tattoo. You know, really? You get, oh yeah. I mean, tattoos hurt for like a week and a half and they heal and they flake and they make your bathtub all shitty with like multicolored scabs, you know, the deal. Yeah. But you know, the implants, man, you make an incision, separate that tissue, put it in there, pack it down, sew it up. You're good. You know, you're swollen for few days, and then that's that. Remove the sutures, and life's good, right?
No. I've had this wound in my stomach for 2 months. I had some surgery that won't heal, and that alone is freaking me out. The fact I got to keep packing this thing, I can't imagine. I don't know. I mean,
that's intense.
They look cool on you. I'm not going to lie. And a couple of my pals have them. I'm like, dude, God bless.
Yeah.
I don't know how the hell you do it.
You know, so some people are made to be badasses. Some people aren't as cool.
You're a total badass. You are a total badass. I am so not. I am such a wuss.
What? I'm not the dude packing my fucking stomach wound, dude. That's all you. That makes you much more of a badass than me.
I have no choice.
I kind of agree with that. You know, like,
right?
Like, I'll stick to my tattoos, and Mike, you can have the packing all day long.
Oh, it's such a fail.
That's such a, yeah. Yeah,
we don't even need to talk about that. So I will tell you, and I want to get into some music talk too, but just one last thing on the book and your, yeah, I want to thank you because, like, when I look at your Instagram, and you should definitely follow him on Instagram. What's the hit? Was it at Joshua Coburn?
Yes. Yeah, just at Joshua Coburn. I mean, like, and for those who want to follow me on the different shit, it's just go to joshuacoburn.com because, like, there's all the icons that you can go to and just click and go to all my pages for Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and all that shit.
Yeah, there you go. So I'm a big Instagram guy. So when I always, you know, your post is one of those posts that always comes up in the morning.
Always comes up in the morning.
Right.
Right?
I'm sitting there in the gym.
Yeah, I post up.
And that's
early.
Like, yeah, man. And that's like one of the things that I always get motivated on too, because, you know, it's, I think I posted about it a few times. I think you've even commented on it, just like all the weight loss that I've done, like, oh, you know, freaking like over the last year, man. I'm just like, man, it's like, I see the guy every day on my Instagram and like, I gotta, you know, and I gotta kind of keep going. You know what I mean? And then that's like, you know, and that's what your book has done for me as well. You know, there's like there's, you know, I have my favorite passages in it, but I also read a little bit every day. I'll pick a different page or sometimes I'll just randomly open it and start reading, you know, because I've actually read through it a couple times now. But whatever I open up to, I just kind of try to focus on that day. And then that's just what I do.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's exactly what it's built for. I'm stoked to hear that you use both the book and my social media for that, because I mean, really, truly, like it simply comes down to the fact that, like, I'm not the only one. You know, I know that people are out there either trying to kick ass, trying to do better, or struggling and hurting. And I'm, you know, like you mentioned motivational speaking, like that's for marketing purposes what I am. But like, I'm just an encouraging dude that wants you to kick ass. Like, that's all I am. When I go speak, I go and I hang out with like 500 or, you know, 1,000 friends or 3,000 friends or whatever it is. And it's like hanging out, you know, around the campfire at 2 a.m. and, you know, talking life. That's what I do when I hit the stage. So at the end of the day, it's really about everybody understanding, look, regardless of, you know, your shoes are freaking Gucci or you're duct taping them every day, we're still walking a certain walk in this life, and we all got commonalities. So let's just freaking do it together. Let's kick ass together. So that's what it's all about. So I'm really stoked that you're taking it and using it in those ways, because truly, like the book itself, like it's not made to sit down and read all the way through, which you guys know, but for any listeners, like it's not made to just sit and read. It's to pick up, it's to put in the console of your car or, you know, pull out of your purse or your locker or whatever and just be like, fuck, I need something, and just flip it open. And there's your something. Focus on that. Grow. Kick ass. Do what you got to do. And move ahead. Period. So I'm stoked that you latch onto that way. That's exactly what it's intended for.
Yeah, it is. It's like one of those books that, you know, that'll give you like a different story every day or a different one page, a piece of a, you know, I forget what you want to call them, a daily motivation. I'm not really sure. A daily motivation
book. Right.
Like,
yeah.
Whatever. Like, that's how I use yours. But it's way better than that. Just because it... It speaks to me as a person and not some, like, I guess you could say, some doctor typing perfect words in a sentence where I'm like, well, I don't understand 60% of that paragraph, so I'm just going to go back to bed because my day sucks now. But if I pick, but if I pick your book up, it's like, yeah, it's like he's talking to me like a human being. You know, like, get off your ass, man. Get off your fucking ass. Do that, because that's the way that I talk, and that's the way that I enjoy being talked to. You know, it's just as a human being, as a bro, as a friend. Whatever. And then that's kind of how I view your Instagram, your social media. Well, no, I'm just going to say IG, because I mean, that's where I'm at the most. Do people even use Twitter anymore? I think my Instagram links go to Twitter. That's about it. But
same.
But yeah,
no, it's something you're right, Mike. It's something you have to pick up. To me, it's better than like I almost said coffee, but it's not. Dead's Like Coffee. It's right on par with that. So if you're sipping some Dead's Like Coffee and reading the book, then you're good. But it's better than like an energy drink. It's that thing that like to me, I have a page marked. I don't even think they're numbered. But anyway, and this one where it says, when you stare death in the face, you learn to live without regrets. And it, like back in 2017, Mike could tell you that, you know, I had some headaches. Long story short, went to the doctor, had an MRI, and he was like, yeah, you're fine. You have a herniated disc in your neck, not a big deal, and it's causing cluster headaches. But what are you doing about the tumor? And I'm like, dude, what tumor? And he's like, you got a 5x2 tumor in your throat. And literally,
holy shit.
Yeah, it's like a week later, biopsy, cancer. A week later, I'm in NYU, and the guy's like, yeah, that's got to come out Friday. And if you don't have the MRI, you don't have this done, you're like dead by Christmas. So it's like it changes.
Wow, that's absolutely intense.
It was a little intense. It was a little weird there for a while. But, you know, modern medicine, they 4.5-5 hours later, they ripped the damn thing out, and I'm good.
Dang, dude. That is, like, over-the-top intense.
But some days, you know, you deal with, like, and I do, like, a lot of people do with, you know, some mental problems or, like, depression or sadness. I'm just like, I don't want to – I pick it up. I pick the book up. I have this page marked. You know, even right. On the other page, focus less on where you've been and more where you're going, and like just things to get me. You know, and I'm like, yeah, fuck yeah, I can do this. You know,
mm-hmm. Yeah,
I
totally
can do this. You know, I stared it down and I can do this. So thank you for that.
Well, that's yeah, absolutely my pleasure. Thank you. I mean, first of all, I'm stoked you're still fucking here after staring death in the face, because that's a big deal. That's a mental. Such a mental thing. Everybody's so afraid of like death. And I wrote that. I remember it too. I remember it because that's in relation to the fact that I was on a flight and I woke up because I was smelling like electrical, like, you know what the smell of an electrical fire is, right? Like you just smell that like electrical, I don't know, fire, I guess. And I was smelling it. I'm like, wow, well, that's weird. And everybody was like freaking out and texting and praying. And I'm like, what in the hell is going on? And they announced that, you know, there's an electrical fire on board. We're not sure how big it is. We're not sure what we're going to do, but we're being redirected to this closer airport, whatever. And I'm just like, wow, that's interesting. And like everyone's flipping out. And I'm kind of like, well, I guess I'm going to go back to sleep. Like I'm going to go ahead and sleep. Cause if I'm going to go down, I may as well go down sleeping, right? I'll probably wake up just before impact when it gets loud or something. And, you know, at least I wrote it out that way, right? And we landed. I woke up actually when we touched down and, you know, there's fire trucks and ambulances and all that stuff around. And I still to this day don't know if it was like a massive fire or this tiny little fire. I have no idea. But watching everyone else freak out and me sitting there, just like, oh, you know what, I'm going to go back to sleep. The realization when I landed was, well, I guess I am living like I always thought I should live. Because I didn't look back and think, fuck, I didn't say this to Dad, or I didn't say this to, you know, some chick or my friend. Like, my friends know that I love them because I tell them and I give them hugs. And, you know, I do all those things because if I leave and get in a car accident, I can't go back and do that. So I've always tried to live that way. And I watched, you know, somebody pass away years ago in an accident, and I remember hearing those words from other people, like, oh, I wish I could have said this to them. And I was like, I'm not going to be that guy. And in that moment, it made me realize, like, shit, I'm doing it. Like, what a good confirmation for me. You know what I mean? So just being able to have that in my life is such a big positive thing. So I wrote that because your life is different. You look at life all differently once you realize how close to death you've potentially been. So, I mean, you hear it from people who've been in accidents or who've survived cancer or anything else. You always hear that. And it's like, man, perspective goes a long way.
Absolutely. You're 100% correct. And shit like that. And it's crazy that you didn't know what kind of fire it was. I mean, and I would never.
It was electrical.
No, but I'm just saying you don't know how bad it was. Or I would never. Mike, would you go back to sleep?
I would order a double Buffalo Trace.
Yeah, I'm drinking.
Well, yeah, Macallan 18.
Okay. Whatever you got, the most expensive thing you got, give me six of them.
I'm getting smoked.
Right.
Yeah, I'm getting smoked in those last few minutes. I mean, like, by the time that plane lands, if everybody lands safely, they're not letting me back on the next plane because I'm getting so drunk on the flight down. You know, it's just, you know, it's just, you know, I'm getting a hotel when we land because I can't see. I don't think going back to sleep would be an option for me.
Yeah, that's crazy to me that you went back to sleep.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was like my best option because it's like I could stay awake, watch these people flip out. I could then get like all overthinky about it.
They could work
you
up. Or
I could
right.
just crash out.
Yeah.
I just created that word, overthinky. That's a new thing.
Overthinky.
Yeah,
overthinky.
Oh, I mean, overthinky, yeah.
Yeah. Crazy. So, what's that?
You didn't have to jump down one of them slides, did you?
Nope. No. We got there. We evacuated off the plane. Everything was good. So, like I said, I still have no idea what the issue was. I know, obviously, they diverted a lot of people and brought in a new plane, but for what it's worth, that happened. and that's when I wrote that. I think I wrote it in the airport sitting, you know, like just on my phone and held on to it.
Right. Yeah. That's wild. I don't think I've ever been on an airplane close call in my life. I've had some close calls, but I don't think any of them have been on airplanes.
Yeah, I think that was my only one on an airplane. Yeah, of course, you know, car wrecks and other silly stuff in my life.
Yeah,
and you know, shit by my own hand, which was, you know, silly stuff. But
you know what's crazy? I'm just sidebar on planes. I was on a plane this weekend, and I'm the idiot putting on audio on the Audible, and I was listening to Stephen King. He has a book that has like short stories from other authors that are all about terrible things that happen on planes, and that's what I was listening to.
Oh, of course.
I'm just like, wait a minute. What is this?
Speaker. Yeah. Put it on speaker. Take the headphone jack out.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, nice. Then you just terrify everybody, and you got to live with that.
Yeah, then you get kicked off the plane at that point, I think.
Yeah, exactly. I remember not long ago, I was on a flight, and they had Final Destination and like the classic horror section. And like, of course, the beginning of that is, you know, a plane explodes and everybody dies, right? So, and I'm watching it, and like, you know, the whole scene happens, and I'm not even thinking about it, and I kind of sit up and adjust myself and look next to me, and the woman, like, right to my right in the center seat was friggin' terrified. I'm like, oh, sorry, her face just told me, like, what are you doing watching this? But
you should have put on Alive. You could have put that on when the plane crashes and like all the kids eat each other, and then you could have went right to the.
I remember that.
Lost.
that's a little brutal. I would hope I'm a little more conscious than that, but that's the guy who watched Final Destination, so right. Who knows?
Right.
Ah, that's crazy. But I will tell you, and then we're going to move on to some music. I'm having surgery July 26th, and I'll be reading a lot of these passages moving up to that surgery because I'm going to need a lot of motivation with another freaking surgery coming up.
Dude, so that's intense.
It's crazy.
I appreciate it, though.
Yeah, so anybody out there that's going through that stuff, or you need that even the daily like just a daily jolt, just make sure you follow Josh on Instagram and look at the stuff. And every time I see you in like a Dead Slide coffee shirt, I get wood. I'm not gonna lie.
Well, I mean, how could you not? They fit perfect. I gotta tell you guys, those shirts fit me absolutely perfect. I'm so stoked about it. Like, people want to send me shirts all the time. I only wear what I love. You know what I mean? Like, if you send me something and I don't care about your product, like, I'm not going to wear it. Like, whatever. But shirts that fit me well, fact, always win. If they're an awesome product or good people behind it, even bigger win. So you guys are, like, winning on every single damn level.
Awesome. Clapping to that. Yeah. And we got some new ones coming, so they'll be flying your way.
Yep.
Oh, hell yes. I'm stoked. I can't wait.
All right, so let's talk about some music. What'd you think of the Misfits show in Chicago? How great was that?
Oh, shit, it was fucking perfect. Like, I waited my whole life for that, dude. Are you kidding me? Like, I failed to travel to the initial two Riot Fest shows in, what was it, 2016, 17? I can't remember.
Right.
And I should have, and I was kicking myself for it. But if I'm being honest, like, I just generally don't give a shit about festivals. Like, they bore me. I'm tired of fucking walking around at 9,000 degrees. Like, I just get sick of that shit. So that's like the old guy who's been to too many shows talking. But, when when I had seen some other ones, I was like, okay, what's that?
You should have come out to when they played Jersey.
I absolutely should have, yeah. And I had talked about it. I actually was going back and forth with AC about making that happen, but I ended up, I think there was a conflict. I was somewhere. And then I was going to go to Vegas, because I'm always in Vegas, and for whatever reason, another conflict, I'm like, okay, as soon as the Chicago show goes on sale, I'm going to buy tickets. I bought tickets that damn day. I was like, I don't even care. I got to go. And, you know, they absolutely lived up to it, and then some. It was so great.
Yeah, I mean, just start to finish, I thought it was just fantastic. But I'm a homer. I mean, I've loved those guys forever. So,
yeah, absolutely. And, I mean, the fact that their set list was longer at this show than other shows totally, like, made me happier. To hear We Are 138 live was, like,
sick.
That's the shit for me. Like, that was the moment. You know what I mean?
Now, I don't know if you know, if you don't know this, but when we were at the New Jersey show, they come off the stage, the show, when they were done, and AC's like, what'd you think? I was like, where the hell was We Are 138? Like, right. they didn't play it. They played, like, Attitude.
I know.
I'm like, dude, you gotta play 138. How is that missed? So I was stoked. Yep. See, that was the first time I've seen it live by them, too. So I thought it was great.
Yeah, totally. And that's the whole thing. I had read some reviews and stuff, and, you know, they had said that, like, oddly, this is what's been absent, and they listed a couple of songs, and I'm like, fuck, that's the one you can't. Like, how in the hell? But then again, I don't know the reasons for it. I'm sure there was something, but goddamn, like, you got to have that. So hearing that live was absolutely unbelievable. And there was some other friends at the show that I got to see that I hadn't seen, or a few people from Instagram that I hadn't met that grabbed me. So it ended up being a absolutely stellar night.
I did see the picture of you and what is it, Zach from Death Comes Lifting?
Yeah. What a good dude.
Yeah, so props to them. You should check them out too. Death Comes Lifting. They're good dudes too. But I saw that picture. I was like, dude, how did I see this after the fact? How are we all not together? Damn it!
I know, right? Yeah, I knew that he was going to try to make it over, and he drove like the 8 hours from, I think Philly or somewhere in PA, and he drove over, and I was just like, shit, dude, like find me. So and he did. I'm actually working with them on some cool collaborative t-shirts soon, so I'm super stoked to release those. We're working on designs now, so
awesome.
I'm excited because they totally fit. Like you can, a line like that, much like you guys, like when it involves like punk and hardcore horror movies, and in their case fitness, like fuck, that's my whole life, like wrapped up into one thing. How badass is that?
It's super badass.
I keep freaking meaning to get that Black Flag style Death Comes Lifting shirt.
That's so good.
And I keep dropping the ball on it. Yeah, I mean, it's my personal favorite one that they do. I mean, those guys are great. And they always drop good playlists.
Oh, nail the playlist. Absolutely. The playlist. And funny enough, I'm actually wearing that exact shirt. If you don't believe me, you totally look at my posts from today and my stories and shit, because that's what I got on. Ridiculous.
Yeah, they're great. Yeah. They're out of Pittsburgh, I think, is where they're out of.
Yeah, I know they're Pennsylvania. I couldn't remember if it was Philly or Pittsburgh, but yeah, they're definitely up there somewhere.
I got to ask you, were you there for all the opening bands too in Chicago?
Yep, absolutely. Of course.
Because Mike is like he's on a power trip for Power Trip. Like he thinks they're fantastic. I thought they were very good too. What did you think of them?
They were the first
band. They're pretty good, right? Mike, you really dig them.
Yeah, they rip. Like I've been really getting into the hardcore scene more and more lately, but like, after I was just kind of watching him on the side of the stage, and I was like, man, these guys are really good. And he was very animated. He was very into the music. The whole band was. And they even mixed like that harder metal in with the hardcore as well. And
exactly.
And I told a friend of mine when I got back to work that Monday, I was like, yeah, I was like, you know, because they asked you like, well, what other bands were there? And I'm like, well, I'm like, there's this band that I really dig. And I started listening to Power Trip. And they're big hardcore fans. And they immediately, they're like, I fucking love them. Like, they're one of the greatest hardcore bands going, like, right now. And I just started listening to their catalog, and now it's like, it's just a daily thing for me now. Like, it's a big, they're like a big gym shuffle playlist for me. But
absolutely.
But they rip. And Mike's right. Yeah. Like, I fell in love with them.
Yeah.
I enjoy them. I've listened to them kind of leading up to that because I keep up on like new bands and stuff like that. I'm like I said, I'm a big what people are to what most men are to sports, I am to music. So I'm like paying attention to all the news sites and all that shit. And I'd heard about them quite a while ago, and I enjoy them. They definitely have kind of a leanings toward like kind of doom and sludge metal as well, which is good. But I thought they were good. They're entertaining. They young kids that were putting their heart and soul out there, which is fucking cool to see. You know, a lot of people just kind of mail it in these days, which sucks. But I thought they were great. If I'm being real, I'm not like I love Venom. Like Venom, I get Venom Inc. I understand their kind of reasoning for doing what they're doing and stuff. But to me, I'm just not big into it. Like, you know, if it was the original Venom, I think I would have enjoyed it more. But that's me being kind of music snob, and I get that.
100% agree.
Yeah. I mean, you know, if fucking Kronos was there, like, okay, then we're close. Then we're getting close. But it was cool to hear like black metal live and stuff like that. You know, I mean, I probably will never be able to hear that again. So that was cool. But you know, it's like Rat with Steven Piercy and Juan Grossier right now. It's like two dudes. Like, what the fuck are you doing, guys? Like,
yeah,
seriously. I struggle with that shit.
To me, it's not Rat without Piercy.
Well, that's true. Yeah, you're exactly right. And it's a win to that end, but beyond that, I don't know. I get it. Like, the only band I feel like that can ever get away with like doing it without kind of key members, I'm not even going to say original, but key members, is probably Kiss. They could continue on without any members and be fine.
I don't know if you know about my Kiss obsession, where I don't think I've posted a lot about it lately, but I was on the first 6 Kiss cruises. I was the MC of the Kiss cruise pre-party for like 3 or 4 years, where it was like we were hanging out with Mark Price, who played Skippy from Family Ties, and they had a whole bunch of bands that we would hang out with and introduce and raffle stuff off. And then I had we just had great times, and I met so many cool bands, and we've talked about other stories on other podcasts just about just hanging out with these bands. I mean, just bands that you knew growing up, like LA Guns or Faster Pussycat or
right.
And it was just like cool shows. But then we did the Gene Simmons vault experience, where we bought this vault, and it comes with a bunch of CDs that he never released. But the cool part about it was like he talks to the crowd, he like plays a couple songs, he explains how some of the songs are. But then you come back and you get like literally almost like a half hour with the guy, where it's just you and Applause One and a photographer, and he signs the vault and he shoots the breeze. And I thought it was fantastic. I mean, just hanging out with Gene Simmons, I thought it was so great.
Yeah, that's cool as hell. Like, I mean, and love the dude or hate the dude, like, from a business standpoint and a life standpoint, dude's fucking winning. I want to pick his brain, you know?
He
might be an asshole, but, you know, that's up for debate too.
He was terrific when we met him. I mean, he was very, obviously, under the circumstance that we met him, you know, we were paying for, but he literally was so focused, and the conversation was, I don't know, man, the guy's a genius, because he made us feel like he cared. And,
right.
And even business-wise, like he was giving us business tips because we were just starting out the whole Dead Side Coffee thing. And he critiqued, like, he was like, you need to change this, you need to change that. Once you get this, this, and this, this is my business partner. You talk to him, maybe we'll do a coffee. Like, he was like one of those type of guys. Like, he was really interested, but he gave us a lot of cool pointers, but also things on life, like things that you won't see in public, if that makes any sense. I thought it was terrific.
Right.
And I've Team Gene for a long time, even though I'm a huge Ace Frehley fan, and I know my friends who love Tommy Thayer. Dude, you got to bring Ace
right.
back. Come on, one last shot. Got to bring
you're,
Ace.
You're that guy.
I am totally that guy.
He is totally that guy.
I go see Ace, you know, his solo stuff. I think it's fantastic. Yeah, I'm totally that guy.
That's all right. You know, I mean, there might have been a time, but I don't know. At this point, like, again, I will agree with the legend of Kiss that Paul Stanley kind of talks about a bit. Like, Kiss is way bigger than any of those guys. And, like, could Kiss absolutely be a permanent Vegas act that eventually, when ticket sales slow, they tour? Absolutely. It becomes a Cirque du Soleil. It becomes a Trans-Siberian Orchestra where you have people playing the role of Starchild and of the demon and all this. And I think it's totally doable as long as they keep the production high and, you know, people understand what it is. Like, we in our generation have to get over the fact that KISS, as we knew it, is, you know, is dying, but
yeah,
KISS, the brand, is bigger. You know, it is Cirque du Soleil. They'll have different shows. They'll have KISS the Alive throwback tour, and then they'll have KISS the Psycho Circus tour, and KISS the Dress to Kill tour, just like KISS does on the cruises. I think it's going to happen. Like, they'd be stupid not to.
I would agree. They'd be stupid not to do it. But I'll tell you, on KISS, when they did, like, KISS Alive start to finish, it absolutely ripped on the cruise. We needed a tiny little setting, and I'm standing in the fifth row, like right in front of Gene catching picks. I'm like, this is insane.
Yeah, that's cool. I've never done a cruise, but I would be interested. To be honest, I'd be more interested just to have access to people that I admire and respect in bands and have a chance to talk to them. You know, that over the years, I've become friends with a lot of what, as a kid, I would consider heroes. And, like, it's great to stand on the side of the stage or, you know, be in front of the barrier and watch them. But to sit and, like, pick their brain about those moments or to hear those stories about things that I read about, and, like, Rip magazine and shit like, that is what fills my soul with greatness. You know what I mean?
Right. I know, I get that. That's kind of like what the Vault experience was when he was explaining some of the early songs in New York City and stuff.
Right.
That was kind of cool. I will say it was cool on the cruise because things you don't normally see. Cheap Trick played one of the cruises and then left. And Robin Zan, they played like the pre-party. There was like an extra day that you could be on the cruise where it stayed in port. and then Cheap Trick left and Robin Zander stayed. And when he played one of his shows in the theater at like midnight or whatever the heck it was, Tommy Thayer came up with him. They did a whole set list of just Beatles covers. And I thought it was fantastic.
Whoa.
Dude, this is crazy. Like, you'll never see this anywhere else.
Right. Yeah, those moments, man, that's super cool. Absolutely. And that's where, you know, like we were talking, like the importance of that specific song, you know, that we did or didn't hear and why that matters. To diehards, man, those moments are a huge fucking deal. So, you know, when you run into people that are upset that, oh, you know, you hear things like, I just read a thing the other day about how Eminem didn't have his hood up when somebody met him, but they always see photos with his hood up and they were like upset he didn't have his hood up in the photo that they took. Oh. And it's like, should that guy give them the experience they want because it's that important to their life, or should he not? And maybe it's trivial. It's a fucking hood. But to that person, that's a huge deal. What do? You know what I mean? They're diehard. How do you approach this thing? And those are always questions that I wrestle with and ask myself. It's insane.
Sometimes you just got to let it go.
Oh, yeah, totally. I mean, that's how I see it. But obviously, people take to the Twitters and the Instagrams and the Facebooks and gotta talk it up or talk it down.
Injustice. I mean, we were in Grand Cayman on a cruise, and we met Morris Day in the time. And I went to Morris Day. I'm like, holy shit, you're Morris Day. Can we all get a picture? And he was like, absolutely not. And he's like, not because I don't love you guys or I'll hang out, but I don't have my suit on, my makeup. You know, I can't have people seeing me without – I'm not Morris Day right now. I'm just a dude. He's like, but when we kick the stage tonight afterwards, if you want to take a picture of them, you'll get Jesse, Jerome, we'll put the mirrors up. Then it'll be good. But
yep.
I'm sitting on the beach in like loafers and shorts. That can't happen.
Totally get that. I totally get how that works.
Absolutely. So what other
– Yeah, that stuff's interesting.
Do you have anything else on the horizon? Like, Mike and I are going to see the Bouncing Souls in New Jersey with Mighty Mighty Boss Tones July 13th. I can't wait for that show.
Oh, but, damn.
Yeah.
That'll be a good show.
We saw the Souls back in March when they opened their 30th anniversary tour. Mike, you thought it was amazing, right?
It's one of the best shows I've honestly ever seen in my life. They were that good, I thought.
Wow.
Yeah, they were that incredible live.
I mean, that's saying something.
And I've seen a lot of concerts, man, and I've seen a lot of good shows. And the Bouncing Souls sounded, I mean, I don't know. It was just perfect. And I think it might have just been the atmosphere, too, because we were in Jersey. They're from Jersey. The crowd was bananas. And it was just one of the best live musical experiences I've ever had.
Wow. Have
you ever seen them? Have you seen them, Josh?
I've actually not seen them, no.
How dare you?
If I may just slaughter all sacred cows, I'm not even a huge fan.
Oh, how dare you?
I know. My cool points just went down, but I'll redeem myself.
You got to go back and listen to like Maniacal Laughter. Do me a favor. Go back and listen to Maniacal Laughter, start and finish, and then hit me up if you're still not a fan. Because that album just smokes.
All right. I'll definitely do that. Like, on your recommendation, absolutely. I'll hit it up tomorrow when I sit down at the computer. I'll just plug it in and go.
Just plug it in, turn it up, and be like, damn, he's right. This fucking smokes. So Jersey.
Deal.
So what else you got on the horizon for the rest of the year? Anything coming up? Trips?
At this point, yeah, I'm always traveling. I got a lot of stuff coming up. I have, like, meet and greet stuff in Dallas and a cigar, industrial cigar, which I'm stoked about. That's over July 4th. I'll be in Chicago, actually, for the UFC fights coming up. I'm stoked to support Valentina Shevchenko and her title bout. Stuff like that coming up. But really, I got some speaking gigs coming, too. I've really kind of slowed those down in recent months so I can focus on getting the book ready and launching that and getting some of that done. I got some other things I can't talk about just yet coming, but biggest thing that I'm kind of curious about doing, I haven't decided, but it's a 15-year anniversary of my very first book that I ever released, right? And I'm a little torn about putting it out as an anniversary, like re-releasing it, because, and I don't talk about this much, it's not on the market anymore, but it's called Selections from the Serial Killer Cookbook, right? And vastly different, as you can imagine, from my current release. It was actually written when I was in my darkest times, like when I was at my worst, the time to talk about when I'm speaking, some of the things that references at the beginning of Shit That Needs Said, that book was from that time. So it is dark, it's offensive, it's brutal, but part of me wants to re-release it just so people can see, like, what you see today, the dude you see today, isn't who I always was. And actually, here's proof. Here's actual documented proof of what was going on in my head at my worst.
I'm in.
But I'm just not sure if people care. You know what I mean?
Oh, I think people that follow you would care. I would care. I would read it.
I would care. Yep. And that's not just us saying me, you know, because you're on. Like, I would care. I would definitely read.
100% I would read. Not a question. Because I'd love to see the transformations. Totally.
Yeah, and I mean, I would just re-release it. It would be exactly as it was when originally released. I'd probably put some sort of disclaimer or something. Like, if you're looking for, like, Joshua Coburn, you know, 2019, this is not it. This is me 2004, well, actually 2001 to 2004, still angry, still coming out of my worst moments. And trying to figure life out. And I mean, it is, I can't even tell you how dark it is. It is dark. It's like Cannibal Corpse lyrics dark.
Dude, you can't keep teasing like this. You got to release it now.
Yeah, this is the prequel. This is what's that freaking movie called with the doll? Annabelle. This is the prequel.
Oh, yeah.
The prequel.
Yeah, right. Well, that's truly it. Like, well, my thoughts, too, were like, well, maybe what I'll do is I'll make it so the only way for anyone to get it is in the proper context. Like, if you buy Shit That Needs Said, you have an option to buy this. But you can never buy it separate. You can never buy it alone. So then people understand, like, this was then, this is now. This is kind of, you're about to go on a fucking journey of seeing the extremes of who I am as a human. And this is it. That's kind of what I'm thinking of doing, but I don't know. Like I said, it's such a crazy, vast difference between that and today.
Right.
This is such a Gene Simmons move right now. You have me so interested.
Yeah, I'm intrigued. Like,
oh my God, you piqued my interest.
Like, my knees bouncing a little bit. I'm like rubbing the chin hairs off my chin. I'm thinking about it.
Yeah, I got the Dwayne Johnson eyebrow.
Well,
bundle package.
Maybe I'll do it. Maybe I'll do it. It's an option, and I still have, you know, before the end of the year. And if I do it, it's either 15 years or 20 years. So, you know, I got 5 years where I can still make that decision before that's 20, right?
Yeah, but I'm not waiting 5 years. What are we now? Fuck.
Yeah, I'm telling you, dude. It's fucking intense. Like,
damn you.
I don't know.
That's like, I just started to read a cupcake and you can't have a bite.
Yeah. I mean, you know. But see, what I'm also doing is giving you guys, like, the scoop, right? Because I haven't talked about this publicly. So maybe here's a cupcake, but you can't have a bite. But also, here's a fucking cupcake. I'll be happy with a goddamn cupcake.
Absolutely. But I would read that all day. Oh, yeah. I hope you do release it.
Just hope it's not in 5 years, because there might be another fire, you know?
Oh, which, sure. Yeah, I could do the 20-year anniversary. Here's 10 extra pages that I didn't release, except that I don't. I bet I could. I bet I could dig up 10 extra pages.
Just make it up right now.
I am not that dark anymore. I couldn't do that. I could write a foreword or something for it to like reflect on the time, as like people do, but I don't even know if that's valid. I feel like that's kind of a dick move. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
No, it's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
I am so intrigued. This is unbelievable.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. Maybe I'll give a little post out there on the internet and see what other people think. See if we can do it. I don't know. I did a while ago. I threw up my stories and had people vote. It was definitely a yes, release it, but I don't know if those people know what they're getting into either.
That'd be sick. All right, so one last thing before we wrap up. I'll hit you off, just random question. Three bands that you still haven't seen that you have to see before they stop playing.
Three band? Can they be alive or dead?
three bands out there now that you want to see before they either disband or stop touring.
Shit. That's tough, because I've seen almost everyone that I really, like, super care about. You know, I never saw Rage Against the Machine. So I'll put them in there, even though they're kind of pseudo existing right now, but they're all live. So it's possible. Right.
Sure.
Right now, one of the hottest bands that I really am kind of super in love with, not even for their music, to be honest, I've never listened to a whole song all the way through, but there's nothing I love more than a band who's given it all every time they step on stage, full balls out, and that's Fever 333. Have you guys seen any of their live footage?
No, I have not.
No.
Mike?
No. Oh, my God. Just get out there and just, I mean, even on Instagram, look up Fever 333 and look at any of their videos. They are in the crowd. They're throwing drum sets. They're jumping from the light, like the lighting rigs. They're like, I mean, they're absolutely nuts, and it's unbelievable to watch. I have no idea if, I mean, the show's entertaining. There's a ton of energy. And, like, I need bands like that. You know what I mean? I want to see a show full of passion. And not a lot of bands have that anymore. I mentioned earlier, like, a lot of people seem to be friggin' mailing it in, which sucks.
Sure.
But they are absolutely not. Another band I'll give kudos to for never mailing it in, whether you're a fan or not, they're killing it, is the Butcher Babies. Like, do you guys listen to them at all?
You know, I know of them. I've never seen them. Not usually in my my playlist, but yeah.
They're definitely, they're not in mine either. I'm not musically, like, they're good, but right. Live, they're unbelievable.
So,
definitely worth it. But one more that I have to see that I haven't, and you guys, this is where you just like boot me off the podcast.
delete show.
But. Yeah, right. Exactly. Like, well, we're going to do this with Josh, but then he had a couple things to say at the end that we didn't really agree with, so he's out.
Yeah, I can't wait to see Maroon 5.
Really?
No, that's what you're about to say.
Oh, Jesus Christ, no. I was just like, holy shit, okay, maybe I'm not going to get booted, but now I'm going to get booted again. Now, honestly, I really want to see Lana Del Rey live. Like, I fucking love Lana Del Rey.
My man. Sister. I'm in love with her.
Awesome. Really?
She's incredible.
He is.
She's like one of the very few female artists, like in her style of music that I'll listen to.
Right.
She actually might be the only one. Like, I am head over heels in love with her, man.
You just made
you
Mike.
You know what? So am I.
You two with the bromance. You just made Mike moist.
Yep.
Yeah, that's good. I'll do it more. I will do it more.
Born to Die is an incredible song.
Born to Die, it's so good. Like anything off of Ultraviolence, I'm in love with. Like that whole record, so good. Like, oh my God. And like Gods and Monsters, like there is, like, music is very influential on me. Like, yeah, I mean, the lyrics, the feel, the vibe, the whole thing. You know, that's why I love Leonard Cohen. I don't know if you guys listen to Leonard Cohen, but my God. But
The Future, baby.
With what's that?
The Future. It's a great song.
Yes, exactly. Yes, Murder, absolutely. Right? So fucking good.
Yep.
All right. Well, see, we're connected. It's good here. But like Gods and Monsters, that song, it makes me want to be a terrible human being.
Yep.
It like makes me want to like cheat on women in relationships and go do coke and carry around guns and be threatening. You know? Because it sounds so awesome.
Yeah.
It's like, how do you do that to me? Like, I want to be a terrible human, Lana.
Yep.
And then I'm like, but that's not me. This is not good. I can't be that. But I want to be that because it sounds so romanticized. It's like, fuck, that sounds cool. But I'm not that tough. Like, you know, it doesn't work for me.
She's bringing you back to that first book. Fuck.
Yeah, right? Yeah, I know, exactly. Dude. I'd be off the rails. People would be like, what happened to that guy? Oh, he died of a fucking coke binge in Vegas.
Fucking Lana.
And that Lana.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that's too good.
That would be the lost footage. Somebody would find like Vegas tapes of me like screaming in the casino as I'm dying, like, Lana, it's because of you. Like, yeah. That's totally how I'm going down. That's it.
That's wild. Last year we had 3 weekends in a row. Remember, Mike, when we saw, well, Mike, did you weren't at the third show.
No,
we saw a Helmet and Prom. At Debonair Music Hall, this tiny venue that we love. We love Debonair Music Hall. It's one of the greatest places to see a show.
Yeah, in it's incredible.
I bet.
But and then Paige Hamilton hung out with us afterwards, and he was just fantastic, just sitting there smashing Budweisers and just talking like just a dude's dude about the Yankees. It was just great. And then we saw Primus, and we did the meet and greet with Les Claypool the week after, and I thought that was fantastic. Although we were kind of like Mastodon opened, and I don't know, I wasn't really into it. I'm not gonna lie. I just Primus came out and it was just electric. I mean, I thought they put on a fabulous show, and then we saw the Misfits the weekend after that. So it was like 3 weekends in a row.
Yeah.
And it wasn't just the Misfits. It was like Misfits, Suicidal Tendencies. Like it was crazy, that show.
Right. Absolutely. I'm a little sad because Harley Flanagan's Cro-Mags was at that show too, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, I'd love to see that. Like, I love John Joseph and everything he's about, but like, I know also what Harley's about, and like, I want to see that version of the Cro-Mags at some point.
They're actually playing at This Is Hardcore Fest this year.
Oh, really?
It's an incredible year. The Agnostic Front is headlining it.
Awesome.
It's 3 days. I got the Cro-Mags, Wisdom in Chains, Agnostic Front. Jesus, I'm not even sure, but it's a 3-day festival. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. It's in July, I think, is when it is. And
dang,
he does it every year. Joe Hardcore, and like a 3-day mm-hmm. pass is only like $99.
Oh shit, that's nothing, man.
You know, it's super cheap, and there's a ton of bands every day. But yeah, the freaking Cro-Mags are playing there this year. It's a big year, I think. Like having Agnostic Front there, the Cro-Mags. You know, it's going to sell out most likely.
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, one of my favorite shows of all time was seeing Agnostic Front in a tiny venue that holds like 250 people. It's like a true rock venue. You know, it's like long and skinny, and you pack everybody in there. And like, even if you're in the back, you're still in the front kind of place. And dude. Yep. Like, that place was set off. One of my favorite shows of all time was seeing Agnostic Front. God, they were so good. And that wasn't even that long ago. Maybe, I don't know, 10 years or so. They just killed it.
Yeah, and they're still doing it. They're still ripping it up.
Yeah, they are. Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I do have to backtrack a little bit and make a comment about Mastodon because they're one of my favorite bands. So I'm a little disappointed that you guys weren't into them. But,
are they really?
And I just thought... Yeah, oh, I love fucking Mastodon. Absolutely. They're one of my probably top 10 newish bands in the last, like, 15 years. Absolutely. I love them. So, Off Night, I don't know. I love the fact that they're like Kiss. Like, everybody sings. Everybody plays an instrument. Everybody's got kind of their own songs. Everybody's got their own verses. Like, I love that.
I think it was just the fact that we were such Primus fans that...
Yeah.
We were just, let's go. We want to see Primus.
I get it.
Well, I think that's what it was more than anything. I mean, I was there for Primus.
Yeah, I was there for Primus, and we did the meet and greet. And after like an hour sitting with Les Claypool, I was chomping at the bit to see Primus. That's what it was.
I get it. But yeah, I saw Primus way back, I don't know, in the 90s, mid-90s, and they were great. I saw them not long ago, and if I'm being honest, I was kind of bored. I actually left about three quarters way through the show after seeing Clutch because fucking Clutch.
How dare you?
So, I know. I'm like, I love how I like gain points and lose points in this conversation. Like, but my boy still got Lana Del Rey on my side, so we good.
100%. 100%.
Brutal.
I'm
brutal.
Still amazed that that's the name that you belted out. Like, I thought like you were going to say some crazy shit like Nickelback or something like that.
No.
Never in a million years. Like,
Coldplay.
Would you have pulled up, you know, what I thought that you were going to say her name? Like, the odds would have been like 500 to 1.
No, never.
Really?
Guessing. Yeah, never guessing that. Ever.
So good. Like, so good.
Yep.
Like, okay. Like, if we're going to keep talking about this, I totally will. Because, like, you go back and look at, like, even the poem at the beginning of the video for the song Ride, like, that chick is, like, absolutely saying shit that, like, heartbroken me, traveling tired me would say. You know what I mean? And it's just, like, so relatable. Yeah. And she says it in her, like, pseudo, like, I'm broken and never going to be fixed voice, like, you know, it's like this girl's porcelain, and I kind of hate it, but I kind of love it, and it's fucking awesome on all levels.
Yeah, she's stupid talented.
Agree.
I mean, you're looking at last Claypool pictures, so you guys keep talking.
Oh, it's cool. I mean, yeah, I'm. You know, I'll leave that alone. I was gonna give you shit about last Claypool, but
how
I better not.
Oh, how? No, you better stop because Les Claypool is a bass playing god.
I'm not going to deny his bass playing godliness, but I remember he put out a record with Sean Lennon, and I was just like, this is going to be great. And I could hardly handle like any of it.
They're on now. They have a bunch of records. It's the Claypool Lennon Delirium. And they just went through and just played with the last album they put out. Like, every time Primus tours and they're done, like it seems he puts out an album with Sean Lennon, and they tour.
Interesting.
Yeah. Although they did play Toronto, and Geddy Lee came out and joined them on stage, so that had to be pretty sick to see live.
Oh, shit. Like, I mean, then, like, that's, like, I can't believe that didn't create some bass player vortex, like, or something, because that's some big shit right there.
Supposedly, he came out, like Les didn't know he was there. I saw the story on Instagram, then I went and read about it, where all of a sudden Geddy Lee comes out of the back playing the Pachyderm bass, and they went into Southbound Pachyderm and played it on stage in Toronto.
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like, how even? That's insane.
Anyway, let's wrap it up. I can't thank you enough for being the first guest here on the World's Loudest Podcast, Dead Sled Coffee. We love Josh Coburn, so please go to joshcoburn.com. Check out all his stuff. Shit That Needs Said. The new one's out. It's in silver. I have the gold. I need silver and gold, just like the Christmas song.
That's right. Got to have it all, man.
And Mike.
Yeah.
I think this week, you know, we put a private code out for our Dead Sled Coffee fans out there where you have to listen to the podcast to get the code. I think the code should be Coburn.
There you go.
There you
Boom.
Go.
You get 20% off.
Yeah. How much?
20.
There you go. 20% off. So you put Coburn in this week, but we won't post that. We won't talk about it. You have to hear it right here to use that code. And thank you for the people last week to use the code. That was awesome.
Yeah.
So even though it was the... Number one, this is number two, our first guest, one of our favorite people. Dude, I hope to God we do something together soon and we see you at one of these events or whatever it is soon. And I apologize for not hooking that up in Chicago.
It's all good. It's absolutely my pleasure. I appreciate you guys always tossing support my way. Love friggin' – dude, I love the fucking Nightshade tea. Dude, like that shit is so good. Like that's why I post about it all the time. People are like, do you use the shit you talk about? The answer is fuck yeah, I do. So, like, the Kentucky Bourbon Tea, fuck, that's the shit, dude. Like, I love that shit.
Yeah, it's definitely.
But anyway.
Nah, man, we appreciate it.
Sorry to cut you off. For real. Thank you guys so much.
My man. So, thanks again for listening. Everybody check it out. JoshCoburn.com, DeadSideCoffee.com. Until next week, I'm Mike W.
And I'm Mike T.
Josh, thanks again, buddy.
Thanks so much. Take care, guys.
Right, cheers.